This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hello, this is Ethan Benatan, and I'm here with Ken Spelke, who is the Chief Information Officer for the Connecticut Community and Technical Colleges. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I want to start off by explaining to our listeners that you are CIO of a 12 community and technical college system, which was the result of merging the community colleges and the technical colleges in the state of Connecticut. And so as the CIO of a system like that, you are facing a myriad of challenges. So just tell us a little bit about what your world is like at the system level.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it is similar to other institutions I've been associated with over the years. I've worked most of my career in research universities, larger universities, and also had some experience in private university. The challenge, I think, is that our students are somewhat less traditional than students that I've normally been experienced helping provide support for over the years in the other types of institutions that I've been affiliated with. I say that with a little bit of hesitation because that's changing also. I think the economy is driving a lot of students, as most people know, to complete their first 2 years of college. Our tuition is about a third what the state university is. And so a lot of students feel it's a good value if they're willing to put up with living at home and their parents are willing to put up with them. So we're getting younger people than we used to have. Community colleges used to be an older student group, and people that were returning to education after maybe a break of work and so forth. That's still the case, but we're getting more young people as well.
So a very diverse student group. And tell us a little bit about the diversity of the institutions that make up the system as well.
Sure. I think it's probably fair to say as the system, you know, we have one mission. And so, you know, we don't have separate missions at each of the 12 colleges, but it's certainly fair to say there are distinct institutional cultures at the different colleges. And that's, you know, somewhat, again, depending on where in the state the place is located, the type of students they have in terms of ethnicity and other, you know, diversity. Our chancellor, Mark Herzog, who recently retired, was very fond of saying that to his recollection in almost 40 years in the community college system in Connecticut, he didn't think the system office had ever graduated even one student. So the students don't graduate from the system office, they graduate from their college. The colleges are individually accredited by NEAS, which is the New England Accreditation Group. And so, they're set up really as individual places. I think the challenges, though, have a lot of commonality.
Excellent. Yeah. It's funny you should mention culture and, in a way, move right along, because those of us who are CIOs at one institution sometimes think that's our major challenge, and it could be scary trying to deal with 12 of them.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think, again, we're on safe ground if we always really sort of don't lose sight of the idea that it's about the mission of our educational institutions. It's not about the mission of IT. And so we're working on an IT strategic plan right now, a 5-year plan, and it's entirely based on mapping it to the mission statement and to the strategic plan of the colleges and our state. And so, you know, I think that it's very seldom about the technology in my experience, but it's very much about pedagogy and it's very much about opportunity and the way that technology can really enhance learning.
How long have you been in your current role?
I started my 4th year as CIO in Connecticut this past May.
Starting things up, you were learning about these cultures and building relationships. And now it's great to know that your system actually creates an environment. I think every CIO wants to be in a place where the system creates an environment where you can align your strategic plan with the institution's strategic plan. There's the willingness to do that. So what's that process of change like? Has it slowed down for you? Are you hitting your stride, or is it just as fast as it ever was?
I think it's different in some ways. My experience has been, I've been doing this a long time. I've been involved in IT and higher education almost 37 years. And my experience has been, it always pays to learn what's going on, to take the time to listen, to take the time to really sort of develop an appreciation of what the challenges are. And it's not about the challenges that the IT staff necessarily identifies, though that can be very helpful. But it's about the end users. What are their goals? What are their aspirations? And what are their frustrations? And so it took me probably, you know, a good year or so to just sort of get comfortable with the climate and the circumstances, and also to give the staff and the people out at the colleges and the presidents and deans and faculty a chance to feel a little bit more comfortable with me. I think it's a very personal thing that really kind of makes a decision of how successful we are. I think that's a determinant. And so one of the things I initiated shortly after I got there was to start what I was calling the summer visits out to the colleges. And apparently that hadn't been done before. And so I spent a good, you know, half a day or so at each of the colleges over the spring and summer of the first year I was there. And we actually institutionalized that. So I just completed my, you know, third, I guess, round of that. And so that's usually an hour or so private meeting with the president, and then I'm usually invited to participate in their senior council. So it's usually the president, provost, deans, and so forth, and some faculty who are particularly interested in the technology. And it's interesting. I mean, in some ways, I guess it's like having an extra 12 job interviews a year. And at least it feels that way. And one college I was at recently, I went there, and they offered me a cup of coffee, which was very gracious of them, and an agenda of 17 items they wanted me to solve before the end of that meeting.
Wow.
And if I may, as part of the new strategic planning process, the other thing we initiated this summer, we were able to conduct 12 town hall meetings, I called them, out at each of the campuses. And that was just an open meeting that was well publicized, and especially we were trying to attract students. We just really wanted to hear what are students' experiences using the technology and the tools, wireless and networks, and what's their experience been like, what are things they like, what are things they'd like to see changed. And that was really just a very eye-opening. I mean, we recorded all of those. They averaged about 2 to 3 hours per town hall meeting. Very strange model of attendance. You couldn't predict it. So there was one where there were 12 people. There was one where there were over 300 people.
Wow.
And it was just an open forum. And, you know, something that's really helping to inform our strategic planning in just immeasurable ways.
Now, are your counterparts at the system level active in these same ways, or do you find that because IT is this thing that cuts across everything, it's a special challenge for you?
I think it's probably the former. I work very closely. There are three what we call CXO-level officers in the Connecticut Community College system. So in addition to myself, we have a chief academic officer, like a provost or a vice chancellor for academic affairs, and the chief financial officer in addition to our chancellor. And so we meet on a weekly basis, and we are very closely integrated in our mission and our work. The chief academic officer participates in something called the Council of Academic Deans. I attend all of the meetings of the Council of Administrative Deans. That's a dean for each of the 12 colleges with the CFO. So the CFO and I are regular attendees. And so that's one way to get sort of connected in. And then we cross-pollinate. If there's an issue that has to do with academic affairs and academic IT, distance learning, the learning management system that we manage centrally for all 12 colleges, those types of enterprise-level services, then we have an opportunity for us to attend each other's meetings. All of us attend the monthly Council of Presidents meetings, so we're at all those meetings, so we're hearing what's going on at that level, and we all attend the Board of Trustees meetings monthly.
So it sounds like you're really structurally and functionally going out of your way to just knit all this together
all
the time.
Well, we need to learn.
Yeah,
we need to listen. We need to learn.
Yeah, learning experience. And I think that's about as good as an executive team can aspire to.
Well, I feel very fortunate, and I can't take any credit. I mean, I inherited some of that, and it's just been really good. I think it serves our students.
Back to the technology for a moment. So I'm wondering, what's on your mind as the big challenges to solve the things that you're here talking with your peers about? In a way, that's saying what's keeping you up at night. Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
It's a good question. I think that certainly we're concerned, as all of our colleagues are probably worldwide, about budget and finance. I thought it was really interesting, the recent ECAR research that took place, and so many of our colleagues are really just identifying almost a CFO kind of function for many of us as part of our daily responsibilities. So bottom line is a concern. Do we have adequate funding? Do we have adequate staffing to meet the challenge? The community colleges especially have experienced unprecedented growth due to the job market and people wanting to come back for retraining and workforce development types of responsibilities. And we've grown almost 50% in our enrollment just in the last, I believe it's under 5 or 7 years. So it's just incredible. The story I like to tell is you used to go to one of the college campuses and you'd get a ticket if you parked on the grass. Now they have security guards that actually help the students negotiate the curb so you can park on the grass without damaging your vehicle. It's just they ran out of space. We have classes that begin, it's like 6:30 in the morning and go to 10, 11 o'clock at night. More weekend types of offerings. So it's really growing in a very significant way. And so the challenge is, how do you staff for that? How do you provide all of the ancillary services and mission-critical IT services? Security, of course, is something that's keeping all of us up at night. So we have a lot of concern with regard to malware. We've been fortunate so far in not having any kind of major breaches, though we've had minor breaches, and we've required to provide notification. In Connecticut, if an identity is potentially breached, state regulations require offering up to 2 years of identity theft protection insurance. We do that. We do the notifications, both electronically and through snail mail. And so that's a big concern, and that's not going away anytime soon. So we're looking at a lot of enterprise-level solutions to better manage our security risk posture.
We're trying in some ways as CIOs to think about IT as an enterprise service, but a lot of the people that we're supporting think about it as a personal choice. Especially, I would think, that in the community college system where you presumably are working with a lot of adjunct faculty.
Yeah, that's correct.
And probably a lot of them are bringing their own technology to bear.
Absolutely.
How do you navigate that?
I think that's for sure. I think what you just described is a very good summary of it. I think that it's very fair to say that CIOs and IT departments no longer control the IT arena. I think that we're partners and we're peers, but we're not pundits. I think those days are gone. And so the expectation that I have is we need to be receptive to the fact that people are going to bring in devices. Maybe it comes back to the what keeps me up at night question, and that is I think while we're sitting here doing this interview, Verizon's probably offered 9 more new smartphones, and Samsung's probably designed 3 more tablets. So, I mean, how do you keep up with that? But it's really not up to us anymore. I really do believe that. And I think my sense is we need to figure a way to support what people arrive with. In fact, we need to be watching that and seeing, what kind of technology are people bringing to the table and how can we best support that in a responsible, a professional, and a secure manner. But, I was just thinking about it the other day, and it occurs to me, I have a friend that's an architect, and she said once that instead of paving campuses with sidewalks and then the students walk on the grass and cut through the bushes and they find better ways, you're better off just putting sod down and don't pour any pavement. Let the students find those paths, and that's where you put the sidewalks. So the sidewalks are predicated on the traffic rather than the other way around, and you find that you have less damaged hedges and so forth. So I think the point is that people are coming to us with a set of expectations, and I think the expectations include wanting to work 24/7, wanting to have remote access. Synchronization, I think, is one thing that's being brought about through consumerization. So I think there's the expectation for many people, and I guess research universities figured this out a long time ago. It's taking a little longer, but I think that it's really sort of percolating to the entire academic community. We need to allow remote access. We need to allow for synchronization of one's email, your files, to be able to get to your workstation, your records and files through your mobile device. So I think mobile devices represent probably maybe the latest example of consumerization. But I think consumerization also does something different. It changes the support model because I think there's an expectation that, let me see if I can say this right, my sense is that the level of questions that we're receiving from end users is more sophisticated. So maybe in the old days, you know, I can't get the printer to print, or I can't get the computer to work properly, or I just installed this board and now, you know, all of the DMA settings need to be changed. And, you know, those earlier days, especially multimedia on a computer, that has been so well resolved at this point that I think what we wind up with are higher levels of challenges for our help desk folks. Because I think that people are consumers, and I think that the technology has matured, and so my sense is that what the consumerization has done is it sort of pushed the envelope for what we need to be able to do in the way of providing support. And, of course, also figuring out if people are going to be accessing a learning management system using mobile technology, we have to make sure we have some sort of a slim version of that software, those apps, so that the students and the faculty can use it effectively.
I suspect you're getting some pushback from staff who are
sometimes
saying,
more than some.
Pushback who are saying, hey, we have to control this, because that's what they've been told for a long time,
right?
Is you have to keep us safe. So as a leader, how do you get that message across?
Yeah, that I think that's a great question. It's a very significant challenge. I think part of it is trying to work with folks who are extremely professional and extremely dedicated IT staff members who take their jobs very seriously, but I think also maybe as a consequence of that, tend to be a little risk-averse. And so part of it is putting the technology in their hands. So, you know, we've bought iPhones, and we've bought iPads, and we've bought other, you know, emerging technological tools, and we're saying, you use it. See, you know, if you can understand what the excitement's about. So that, in a sense, they have a little more buy-in. They feel a little bit more of a comfort level. I think it's just going to be a sort of natural tension. My sense is, having worked in various places in different roles over the years, I tend to gravitate toward the academic rather than the administrative in terms of IT. And so I always try to say, look, the business we're in is about education. And I guess if in fact we really want a secure environment, and an environment we can control, and I'm not so sure if what I'm about to say is true either, but you probably have a better chance at Citibank or Hertz Rent-A-Car. And I think it's difficult. I mean, I was at an EDUCAUSE many years ago, I think it was in Indianapolis, and one of the keynote speakers was very proud of the product that he was representing, and he said that we're so proud of our product because it's compatible with all known buzzwords. And in a sense, I think that's where we are. Yeah, there's going to be some natural friction. But the bottom line is, and I said it before, I don't think we control it. And either we sanction it or we forbid it, but it's going to happen anyway. I know that when I went out to these town hall meetings that I talked about for the strategic plan, one of the things I heard almost, you know, there were certain overarching themes that came through at 12 out of the 12 meetings. Student email needs were one, for example. But one of them was about Facebook and social networking tools and technologies and opportunities. And basically what they said was that, you know, we heard that, you know, you folks at the system office in Hartford forbid the use of Facebook. And many of us knew that Facebook is prevalent at all 12 colleges, mm-hmm. and it's used in all kinds of different ways. And I try to explain, you know, as sort of honestly as I could, that we never said that, you know, we would forbid the use of Facebook. What we said was if users used Facebook, we'd come out and kill them. But we never said that we were forbidding.
That's a subtle difference. You know, our time is up. It's been a wonderful conversation. I could talk to you all day. Ken Spelke, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.